On this episode of Stewardship Calling, host Bill Marianis asks, do you believe?
Do you believe? Do you have faith? Do you have confidence in the story of Christ's resurrection and life after death? In this Stewardship Calling podcast, we will explore how we can believe in something without seeing it. We'll discuss how our disbelief is not unique to us, and we'll see through Holy Scripture and the critical first-person accounts from the apostles how we can have faith in eternal life and a resurrected Lord. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Bill Marianis from Atlanta, Georgia, and I share the view of Mark Twain that the two most important days of your life are first, the day you were born, and second, the day you figure out why. My why is to be a stewardship calling evangelist. I'm here to help you discover and live your stewardship calling, and in so doing, help you and your parish or faith-based community live up to your and its full stewardship potential. You see, I understand death. I've seen it. I buried a goldfish that my daughter really loved, but which died, notwithstanding her great love. I've buried a father, two in-laws, grandparents, and best friends, all of whom I have loved very much. Death is all around us, and it's touched all of us. It's about all the evening news likes to talk about. I get death, and I know it will one day get me. What I have trouble with sometimes is resurrection. I haven't seen it. I don't actually know anyone who came back from the dead. My daughter's goldfish is still buried in our backyard. The physical remnants of loved ones are scattered in cemeteries all over this country and in Greece. So is this resurrection real? Am I the only person who sometimes has doubts? I got to wondering. So I decided to do some research. That's what lawyers do. In his outstanding book, American Grace, How Religion Divides and Unites Us, Harvard researcher Robert Putnam presents the amazing fact that with respect to Americans, quote, 80% are absolutely sure that there is a God, end quote. And yet he reports that only, quote, 60% are absolutely sure that there is a heaven, although fewer, 52%, have this level of certainty about life after death, end quote. Which led to his conclusion that, quote, the vast majority of Americans also believe in God, but Americans are less sure about life beyond the grave, end quote. Well, maybe it's just a modern American thing. Perhaps it's that secular, humanist, anti-Christian epidemic that seems to be overtaking our one nation under God. So I decided to research the best believers I could find who lived in a different time and place, Christ's apostles. Among the most faithful men of all times who gave up everything to follow our Lord and ultimately died executing his final instructions to make disciples of all nations. For several years, almost every day of their lives, they walked with Christ. They ate with Christ. They were directly taught by Christ, and they saw miracle after miracle he performed. Indeed, right before the triumphant entrance of our Lord into Jerusalem on the day we now celebrate as Palm Sunday, they saw what had to be the ultimate proof of his divinity and the promise of resurrection. 4 days after the death of a dear friend of our Lord, Christ brings Lazarus back from the dead and clearly says, quote, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. John chapter 11, verse 25. It can't be any clearer than that, can it? Christ makes resurrection definitive, undeniable, and the disciples and others see it with their own eyes. No witness can possibly have any more doubts about resurrection, right? Well, not so fast. Just a few days later, those very saintly and devout disciples actually did doubt. I couldn't believe it. They saw with their own eyes, and yet they doubted. Could this be true? Now, I'm no theologian or biblical scholar, but it seemed to me this simple country lawyer that, again, research was called for. I encourage you to seek proper guidance from a theologian or scholar. I just wanted to see for myself. So I looked at what the apostles told us in their very own words in the Gospels they wrote, and I found it easily. They didn't attempt to hide their lack of faith or disbelief in an effort to somehow make themselves sound better or more courageous. They were honest. And they just told us the truth. They doubted. These holiest of holy men reportedly heard our Lord describe resurrection, and they saw him demonstrate it with his friend Lazarus and others. Yet once they witnessed Christ's death on the cross, that perhaps devilish doubt overcame them. Not once or just one of them, but they all confessed it to us, their descendants. In Mark 16, verses 11 through 13, we learn firsthand what happened when Christ appeared to his faithful after his death and resurrection. Quote, "And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe." End quote. And after that, he appeared in other form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. End quote. As Matthew describes the Lord's appearance in giving the disciples their great commission, he acknowledges that when the 11 disciples saw our Lord, quote, "they worshiped him, but some doubted," end quote, Matthew 28:17. And the Apostle Luke also acknowledges that they did not believe in Luke 24:11. What in the world is going on? It appears that there was an epidemic of disbelief from those closest to our Lord, those who saw him and heard him and professed to believe in him. Yet all the eyewitnesses and the most faithful publicly confessed to us that they had their doubts about resurrection. I don't know about you, but this made me feel a little better when I sometimes have my doubts about things. It's like they knew we might sometimes need to be encouraged when we suffer our own occasional disbelief. And the synonym for doubt, Thomas, had his disbelief forever documented in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. To this day, we call one who lacks belief a doubting Thomas. The Apostle John tells us that Thomas would confess his belief only after our Lord let him reach out and touch the unthinkable injuries Christ suffered during his crucifixion. And in that precious and amazing moment, it's as if Christ speaks to all of us in this day and time. Quote, "Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed.'" End quote. John chapter 20, verse 29. There it is, my brothers and sisters, a clear path to receiving our Lord's blessing, the simple act of belief. Belief in his resurrection, not because we're like the over 500 live witnesses who saw a resurrected Lord, as we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 through 8, which included the Apostle Paul, the other apostles, James and St. Paul, who chronicles Christ's appearance after his death on the cross. We receive the promise that resurrection will be our fate if only we have faith. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 teaches us what faith is. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So we come full circle. I haven't seen a human resurrection. Neither probably have you. Yet we are given a test of faith. What can we use to pass that test? How about a promise from our Lord? We hear such a promise in one of the many times our Lord promised us life after death. In John 13:36, when Simon Peter asked Christ, quote, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." So why do we have doubts? Why do at least 48% of us believe there is nothing after this life? And what can we do to learn to have faith? Now that's an important question each one of us has to answer for ourselves. It's perhaps one of the most critical questions to which we must seek our own answers. But if we answer that we believe, our lives must change. No longer can we merely focus on the 50, 60, 70, 80 years you'll have here on this earth. We have to focus on a much larger objective and a longer period, all of eternity. Perhaps at this point you're wondering if I will share with you a secret formula or hidden pathway to belief. I will not. I can't. That's for you to prayerfully seek and find for yourself. However, I will confess to you that I do believe. I know resurrection to be the truth. How, you ask? How can you know and believe that which you have not seen? I've never seen subatomic particles, but I believe they exist. So I started to make a list of things I believe in but have never seen. My list included sound, earthquakes, Mount Everest, energy, dreams, dinosaurs, emotions, the past, electrons, the Holy Spirit, the bottom of the ocean, that all people have good in them, cancer cells, gut feelings, my ability to lose the 20 pounds I've been losing for the last 20 years very unsuccessfully. Okay, I admit, that last one may not actually exist given my significant and well-chronicled inadequacies. But as I started to make my list, I realized it was endless. Let's keep this dialogue going. If there is something you believe in but have not seen, email me at bill@stewardshipcalling.com. That's bill@stewardshipcalling.com. I'll periodically update this list and the dialogue. You see, I believe that if you prayerfully reflect on this, you'll discover many things in which you believe that you have not seen. These are all proofs that you have faith. Anyone who's ever flown in an airplane or driven a car understands faith. You trust that the other person in control of these multi-ton, fuel-filled projectiles will either stay out of your way or land it and you safely. But I also realize that I've seen so many miracles in my own life that should help me with this faith journey. I've seen the miracles of the births of my two amazing daughters. I've seen the miracle of a sunset, the death of a day, followed by the resurrection of the sunrise on the next day. I've seen people sacrifice significantly and willingly without seeking a return on this earth. Can anything else explain our parents or those who serve and protect us every day? What about the love that we have all experienced, perhaps even when we didn't always deserve it? How about you? What miracles have you seen in your life? Again, share them with all of us by emailing me at bill@stewardshipcalling.com. Not so that we can be voyeurs into your life or beliefs, but so that we too can believe without seeing and share this belief and faith together. Blind people don't physically see as we who have been given the blessing of sight do. Yet they are full of beliefs and will tell you that they believe that they sometimes see things more clearly than we sighted people do. In some respects, blindness can be both a physical phenomenon and a spiritual one. It can also be a self-inflicted wound, as it was for the apostles and those who saw our Lord suffer and did not believe, that is, until they saw him after his resurrection. So do you believe in a resurrected Lord? Can you accept the word of holy eyewitnesses, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, James, and hundreds of others who saw and believed and share their seeings and believings so that we who inherited these stories might also believe? If you do believe and call yourself a Christian, what are you doing with your life to demonstrate that belief? How are you living today so that you can prepare yourself for the eternal life we have all been promised? When you discover why you are here on this earth and what your Lord has called you to do, you prove you believe and have faith. When you figure out how to take the many gifts he has given you and deploy them for his greater glory and to help prepare you for theosis and salvation, you prove you believe and have faith. When you decide that every day you have left on this earth, you will actually live your stewardship calling. You prove you believe and have faith. And when you believe and have faith, you actually become a steward of our Lord's gifts to you. It is to that purpose that I've decided to dedicate the remainder of my life as a stewardship calling evangelist. What's your purpose? What's your why? What's your stewardship calling? And most importantly, what are you doing every day to prepare a good account before the awesome judgment seat of Christ? I pray that you believe and have faith and become a living icon of Christ's presence every day. Well, that's about all the time we have for today. Hopefully today you've come to better appreciate that while it's okay to have doubt sometimes, you need not doubt about Christ's resurrection and his promise of eternal life for you. Please remember that among the two most important days of your life were the day you were born and the day you figure out why. You are an amazing person made in the image and likeness of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Once you figure out why you're here and start living your stewardship calling, you can experience the true joy of using your many God-given and extraordinary gifts as you proceed on the path toward theosis. And when we help others better live their stewardship callings through our churches and faith-based communities, we create a robust set of ministries and a strong and growing Christ-centered community living its stewardship calling for God's greater glory. To find out more about this holy and important work, please feel free to visit my always free website, stewardshipcalling.com, where you can access a significant amount of free personal calling, stewardship, and parish strategic planning information and resources. And I'm also happy to answer any stewardship questions you have. All you have to do is either post your question on the Stewardship Calling blog or email me at bill@stewardshipcalling.com. May God bless you on your journey as you discover and live your stewardship calling. My prayer for you is that you S-O-T-P-A-E-T-J. Stay on the path and enjoy the journey. God bless.
You've been listening to Stewardship Calling with Bill Marianis. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.